going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
It is always game day in Cleveland. It is a draft night extravaganza. He is Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. We are brought to you by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Daryl, you called it. I said it earlier today to one of our comrades in the studio. He called me a very, very negative word when he asked me, what did I think the Browns were going to do? And I said, they're going to trade it. And I looked at him and I said that, and then he called me that, and I would wonder if he would have the same guts to say that to the folks that work in the Browns as well. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's early. I like the trade, and I like what they did. And that's just where I'll start with that. Daryl, you go.
Yeah, from an overview, overhead look, it's hard to argue with what the Browns did Thursday night by trading the second overall pick to Jacksonville, who ended up drafting my guy that I had been banging the table for, Travis Hunter. And then, of course, Abdul Carter went a pick later to the New York Giants. It's hard to argue with Andrew Berry's thought process there, because not only did he get the 36th overall pick in this year's draft, okay, and also too with swapping fourth rounders, he got the Jaguars 2026 first rounder. That is a huge deal when you take a step back and you look at the overall team building process for the Browns here. So it's hard to argue with that aspect of it, but I get fans that are frustrated. You know, Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter were thought to be the top two blue chip players available in this draft. And quite honestly, the Browns said thanks, but no thanks. They passed on them. They go ahead and they draft some defensive help. they don't score points. They don't have a lot of offensive weapons, but they add to what is already a pretty good defense right now. And so now they will go ahead and slide in Mason Graham, the defensive tackle there from the University of Michigan, to come in and help Myles Garrett and that Browns defensive front. So overall, taking the emotional aspect out of it, I think it was a very intelligent Thursday night for Andrew Berry in the Cleveland Browns. However, I'd have to say that I also understand some of the Browns' frustrations, and we'll get into something I ended up asking Kevin Stefanski as well about this overall move.
All right. So, Daryl, when you look at the big picture here, did they just give themselves a very good shot at Arch Manning next year? That was my first thought. I'm like, look, yeah, if they don't think the quarterback's there this year, and let's face it, Jacksonville isn't winning the Super Bowl this year, and you would think that Jacksonville's probably just handed them at least a top five pick for next year. You could also end up with a guy who could return home at quarterback next year too. So, I mean, I absolutely love this the deal. I think they still got a blue chip guy on defense. I mean, they're a team that averages 15 points per game, and they're going to have to do better than that on offense. Is it questionable that they took somebody on defense with the number one, with their number one pick? Yes, it is. But when it's all said and done, I love the fact that they have now 33 and 36, and now they can build everything they want on offense in this draft.
And I also think that they don't have to take a quarterback right now in the second round, right? We've been speculating, you know, at 33, would they move up back into the first round here to take one of these kids, or would they just, you know, go ahead and use a mid-round pick on what would be the third quarterback on the roster and somebody they would look to develop via a redshirt this year? Unfortunately, though, we know how redshirt quarterbacks tend to go for the Cleveland Browns. They usually have to put them on the field prematurely, and obviously hope you don't have to do that this year. But what that first-round pick, in my view, that they got in 2026, Andy, it does a couple things. One, it allows the Browns to honestly compete this upcoming season, right? They don't have to lose their way into a top-three pick. That's first and foremost.
Darryl, not to interrupt you, that was my first thought, that they can still be competitive knowing that Jacksonville gives them an opportunity to get a very high draft pick next year.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's that aspect of it. And then two, they now have the ammunition to go trade for the first overall pick next year, which, let's be honest about it, will cost you three first rounders. So you could give up your two first rounders in 26, and then you can throw in your 2027 first round pick as well, along with the obviously some sweetener picks in that deal as well, to go ahead and move yourself up to number one. I think that's very, very important.
Andrew Berry can hand that to him next year anyway. They may not need to give up three number one picks to get the number one next year. What do you think Jacksonville is going to be next year?
I think the pick from the Jaguars will be anywhere from the bottom part of the top 10 into the teens. I don't think Jacksonville's a playoff team next year, but also at the same time, I don't think that they're going to end up as the worst football team in the NFL, because they got better by adding adding Travis Hunter to their roster. I think they made themselves a better football team Thursday night. It all hinges on Trevor Lawrence. Let's be honest about it, right? How good is he going to be for them in the 2025 season? So the bottom line here is, Andy, the Browns are extremely well positioned to fill a tremendous amount of holes. And that's like another tentacle to this conversation, right? Because I had been pleading this offseason for Andrew Berry and this organization to have a very realistic view and honest conversation about where they were from a roster standpoint. I maintain that they were much closer to a 3-14 team than they were the 11-5 team that ended up making the playoffs. They have a lot of holes. They have holes on the offensive line. They have holes on the defensive line. They filled one of those here in round one of the draft. You have holes in your secondary, right? You need safety help. If you trade Greg Newsome this weekend, you might need to shore up cornerback again. You have multitude of holes on the offensive side of the ball. Tight end, running back. I mentioned offensive line already, right? And then obviously the coup de grace, the quarterback, which has been the same hole that they have had for the last 26 seasons, right? So this gives Andrew Berry a tremendous amount of draft capital, both this year. Again, Friday night, the Browns are going to have four picks. They're going to have 39, 36, 67, and 94. Okay.
They have 104 before, right? They move off of 104.
Yes. Well, 104 is in round four, so they move off of 104 and they slide down to 126, okay, in that fourth round. And again, they got number 36 as part of that trade with Jacksonville. So I don't – I'll be honest with you, Andy. I'm not convinced that they're going to take a quarterback with one of those two picks on Friday night either. I think that is an opportunity. What if they went and got some help for the offensive line? It got a tight end or got a running back with those two, right? Because they've got to find a way to infuse some offensive talent into this football team. They desperately need it. They really, really do.
6 points per game the last three games of the season. They averaged 6 points per game. You can't do that.
Yeah, so I keep going back to the offensive issues that they had this past season and all these holes that they need to fill. You've got two tackles in DeJuan Jones and Jack Conklin, who are unfortunately oft injured. Okay,
right.
So you need to shore that up. You've got Joel Bitonio, who's in the final year of his contract and likely going to retire after this season. That is a big loss on the interior for offensive line. You have a decision you have to make with Wyatt Teller, the other guard. So the offensive line isn't that stable force that we quite frankly had been spoiled by in the last, you know, 4 or 5 seasons, right? Mm-hmm. And so they need to start looking toward the future of what that offensive line is going to look like as well. And then David Njoku, let's not forget, final year of his contract as well. That's not to say that they won't or can't extend him, but that's another factor, and that's why I've been pushing heavily for a tight end. And as we know, this is a pretty good draft for these running backs as well. So, again, I would not be shocked if come Friday night the Browns do not select a quarterback in that third round, in that second round. It wouldn't surprise me if they went ahead and waited until round 3 or round 4 to take one of these guys. And you know who I'm thinking of?
Say it, baby.
Will Howard.
There you go. I love it. I love it. And we did that on the show today, too. Here's the interesting part of it, because there are two parts to tonight. One, there's the trade, and then there's the Mason Graham part of it, okay? So, I my only regret right now was watching NFL Network, because I think they're, Rich Eisen, and I like Rich Eisen. I don't think he wanted to jump on the fact that Browns fans were mad that they traded the pick. And I mean, I've been talking to these fans for 4 months every day. I don't know that any Browns fan was like, I'm sure there were some that were mad, but I didn't feel like the overwhelming feeling that we would get when we walk back on the air is that Browns fans were mad that they traded back. And still, you talk about Mason Graham, he was in that group of 6 blue chippers that a lot of people had talked about over the last four months too. So I didn't get it. I didn't get the piling on part. And I'll say this to Ohio State fans that might be mad that the Browns took a guy from Michigan. Get over it. Who cares? He plays for the Browns now. I don't care where he played college football. I'll be honest with you. You know I'm a gigantic Buckeye Hawk, right? And I'll talk about the Buckeyes honk or whatever you want to call me. And do I want them to pick Ohio State Buckeyes? Yeah, I do. But when they pick a guy from Michigan and he puts on an orange helmet, I don't care where he played college football. I don't. He could play football at Tri-C for all I care. I don't care. He plays for the Browns now. So any Browns fan that is upset that he played for Michigan, get over yourself and get into the reality of the fact that they picked a very good player that's going to be able to help out this team on defense. Yeah, did I want them to pick somebody on offense? I wanted Ashton Jeanty. When he was there, I was hoping that would be the guy. They average 15 points per game. They need offense. But I'm not really mad at the team at all. I'm happy with what they did, and I think I'm more happy knowing that the quarterbacks coming out next year are expected to be way better than what we're seeing this year.
Yeah, we remember that Andrew Berry has said multiple times when he evaluates draft classes, he does them on 2-year cycles. And the cycle he evaluated this year was 25-26. I want to read you a couple of text messages I got from friends of mine who were at the Journey concert, though.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So one text message from a buddy of mine who's a diehard Browns fan said, I hate them. I can't believe they did it.
I got them, too.
Another text message said, people are starting to walk the blank out after the trade. And then another one said, okay, Journey couldn't even save the amount of people that were leaving right now.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It happens all the time, though. It does. I mean, that happens every time they have a draft party. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what name they pull. And, you know, I talked to Chris Rose right afterwards because I was trying to get a gauge for what NFL Network was thinking. So I texted Chris and I was like, Chris, I like it. What do you think? And he's like, ask me in a year. And I'm like, Chris is 100% right. This doesn't mean anything for another year. It means absolutely nothing. I will say, get over the fact that they drafted a guy from Michigan. Who cares?
Well, here's the thing. I asked Kevin Stefanski about the fact that the perception from fans right now is that the Browns gave up two trans- on adding one of two transformational players, right, in Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. And I asked him, what is it about Mason Graham that he feels like will provide that same transformational impact for this team? Now, Andrew Berry had said earlier in the night that he fits the defensive DNA. And Andrew Berry's big on using that offensive and defensive DNA when he's talking about these prospects. And Kevin, you know, basically ran through a litany. I put the video up on my my social media on X at Right or Wrong Fan. Kevin's response to my question, and basically Kevin laid it out. Feels like he can push the pocket. He can get after the quarterback. He's, you know, perfect to be able to chase around guys like Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. Feels like he can help in the run game. Big fan of the person, big fan of the work ethic off the field, and feels like he's going to be able to come in here and really have an impact from day one. So I understand why fans are frustrated or upset, and partly because we, myself and you and our colleagues, you know, we spent months upon months talking about Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter and Shedeur Sanders and these other quarterbacks that are going to be available, right? And so I understand fans came into this draft.
But at no point, like, either Jeff or I were like, we're in love with anybody. Like, I wasn't even in love with Cam Ward. You know, we're in like, and I kept saying it from day one, if the Browns are going to draft someone at two, they better love them, because that two spot should potentially be a guy that could end up in Canton. Let's not lie. Yeah. Right. If you're a top three pick in the NFL, you should probably end up in Canton somehow, some way. There are a lot of things that need to be digested. There are a lot of things that need to be digested as this thing moves forward. I do think it's going to take time. I'm not going to be radical about this. The offense sucked last year. Like, let's not kid ourselves. They now have the opportunity to get better on offense. And if you believe that this draft was filled with guys from 15 to about 90 or 100 that are all kind of in the same range, and you get that offensive push where you can find guys that don't have to start day one but are going to be able to help you eventually and grow. Look, Andrew Berry has not done a good job drafting. This is probably the best opportunity for him to go out there and lock up guys that can play for several years and, more importantly, have the opportunity to contribute. And that's where he needs to be. Otherwise, he's going to be out.
Right. Well, and Andrew mentioned, though, the sweet spot of this draft and the fact that they added a couple of picks in the sweet spot of these drafts, right?
I agree.
Getting 36 is huge for them, not even from a trade ammunition to trade back up, but just to sit there and take a player. Right, early in the second round, and then of course again when you look at next year, we didn't even talk about the trade they made before the draft even began.
I know.
on Thursday afternoon with the Houston Texans.
And they made
Texans.
Your weekend shorter by doing that, didn't they? That was nice.
Andrew Berry had a GM of the Year type of night here
him.
He'll get some votes for getting rid of 255, 216, and 200. That is for sure. As it stands right now. Our final pick is number 192 in round six. And I'm not going to lie, Daryl's a big, big fan of that.
There are a couple things that are going to haunt me from tonight. The people that said, well, they're definitely going to take a pick at two. They brought Journey in. Okay, now how are you feeling about that? And two, the people that just wouldn't listen when they thought, hey, maybe the notion is they're going to trade out of two if they're not in love with what they're doing. Or they're not in love with who's there.
Here's the thing. They did exactly what I said they should do back in January and early February before I really took the deep dive into looking at this draft class. And I'm a little busy dealing with the 3-14 season, okay, could really, you know, look and see what was available. But Andrew Berry tonight did exactly what I said that they should do back then, and that was go ahead and trade down. Collect an extra 2026 first round pick, do a meat and potato style draft, give me an offensive or defensive lineman right out of the gate. And that's what he did. So it's hard for me to sit here and really criticize him for doing something I said he should do, you know, 2-3 months ago. But again, I understand why fans might be a little disappointed in what he did tonight. But I think that this is a tacit admission of the state of the Browns roster right now, that they are not a contender. They have holes that they need to fill. This is a bloated roster, both from a financial standpoint, from a salary cap standpoint, from an age standpoint. It's an older roster, right? So now he has a bunch of picks, both not only this year, Friday and Saturday, but going into 2026 now, where he's going to be able to fill a lot of those holes and really infuse this roster with some talent. And he admitted it when we talked to Andrew Berry earlier before, as we record this podcast here on Thursday night, when he came in, he admitted like it's on him to nail the picks. Like it's one thing to collect the assets and cultivate the assets, but he's got to turn those picks into players, Andy. And that's what this franchise desperately needs. They need an infusion of young blue chip caliber, talented players. And they believe that they were able to do that by drafting Mason Graham fifth overall, and then also collecting those additional assets from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and buy a Drew Aller Browns jersey, or I'm going to go out and buy an Arch Manning jersey, Browns jersey. I'm going to be ahead of the curve on this one, because I think that they, you know, they did it with the ability to get those guys and still have a competitive year this year. I think you hit the nail on the head right out of the gate. And I just, again, you got to wait on this stuff. Like, I'm not going over there. There have been years I've been absolutely furious at what's going on. And I walk out of the room thinking, oh my God, they think they're the smartest guys in the room. I didn't feel that way tonight.
And by the way, I'm feeling a little vindication. I had been saying all along that I did not believe that Shedeur Sanders was a top 15 pick in this draft. I talked to some folks in New Orleans who had told me they think that the Saints are going to go ahead and pass up on him. They did. The Pittsburgh Steelers also passed up on Shedeur Sanders. So there is a chance you could go into Friday with him. We'll see here. There's a couple more picks here in round one as we're sitting here recording this podcast. We'll see how the rest of this round.
If they wanted to get back into round one, if they felt like they needed to get him tonight, they have the ammo. I'm just saying, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but they can do it if they wanted to.
I'll be honest with you, Andy. I don't think they're going to do it. I think Andrew Berry, and this is something that I've picked up on in his 5 years as GM, right? You pay attention to what he says between the lines, and then also you pay attention to what he actually does. And that tells you what he's thinking. And I think he told you tonight what he's really thinking. And that is that the 26th draft is going to be the one they're looking to get their franchise quarterback. And I really believe, the more I think about this, I don't know that Will Howard's going to be the guy, right? But
I don't know that anybody in this draft is going to be the guy.
But my point is my theory.
Sam Ward's going to be the guy either. So
my point is that my theory of you go ahead and you use a third or a fourth or a fifth round pick on a quarterback and you redshirt him, that theory is looking to be not the most far-fetched.
I'll buy it. Daryl, great job. Looking forward to talking to you. We'll do a roundtable if you catch this in the morning. If not, you'll be able to listen to that podcast on your Odyssey app. You'll be able to listen to this podcast on the Odyssey app. This is the instant reaction to what the Browns were able to do with that first pick in the draft. We'll be back throughout the weekend. We'll come back with another podcast to give you our updated version of what they did in the draft all the way across the board. All right, go back to work, my friend. Go back to work.
We have things to write and video to cut.
There you go. It's always game day in Cleveland.